Bay Rowdies, who have made a huge upset.
Your 2021 Eastern Conference champion.
Attack play, score!
Oh, that is a delicious goal for Tampa Bay.
And now, you're tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
Hello, everyone out there in Tampa Bay and beyond. This is James Knowles coming at you for the RBLR Sports Podcast. I am here tonight with my co-host, Carlos. It appears, I guess, that we both have a new cut, a new trim to the hair. Carlos, specifically the facial hair, and me a little bit more widespread. But I think we're doing well tonight, Carlos. It's a good time to do some podcasting. We're going to anybody who tunes in on YouTube, boy, they're going to come back for this one or for next week after this one.
Yeah, I do have a mustache. This is going to go away tonight, probably, by the way. I got bored this weekend when I was cleaning up the facial hair. I was like, let's leave this on for the weekend. It was fun. I went on a little river cruise on the Potomac and enjoyed a nice little brunch with it. And I think it did its purpose for the weekend. So it's Tuesday. We're live on Twitter and on YouTube. If you're listening to this live, as always, feel free to join the conversation. We love hearing your comments. We want to talk about this game this past weekend that maybe didn't go exactly how we wanted it to go, but the Rowdies are still undefeated through five games, James. Not to spoil anything. But join the visuals, join the visual, video screen stream. Oh my gosh, I'm so tired. Because James and I are freshly trimmed up. That being said, James, I'm glad we're live. I want to talk about this game. I think there's a lot of stuff to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
I'll save my thoughts for a minute. But Rowdy's still undefeated after five games. James, how are you doing? What's going on down in the sunny Tampa Bay area?
It is sunny. It is very bright. I am avoiding the outside already until it gets a little darker or in this early part of April. But that's how it goes living in Florida. Anybody who is from here knows what that's like. So with that said, we can get into the Rowdies game this past weekend. I did not attend that because I was at the Sun game. But obviously, as part of this podcast, I tried to get myself caught up as much as possible with the game and everything that went on there. And so I think that we, like you said, there's a lot to talk about here. Yep. It is the first draw of the season, but the Rowdies are still undefeated. So that's something to hang our hats on at this point. Lou City cannot say the same. Just wanted to put that out there while we're on it. So keep that in mind while we go through things. The sky might be falling, but it's probably not. A draw at home, I think we can take that, especially after last season, right? Like and subscribe to us on YouTube and any major podcast platform. And of course, please follow RBLR Sports on all your social medias at RBLR Sports or on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, Blue Sky,
everywhere
that I'm forgetting. We are also there. I'll do the quick recap and I'll throw it over to Carlos so that we can get this thing moving along. In the starting 11, we had Jamali Waite in net, Dion Acuff, Brian Schaefer, Nathan Dos Santos, Charlie Ostrom at the back, Max Schneider, Lewis Hilton in the midfield behind Sebastian Cruz, Marco Micheletto, and Russell Ciceroni. MD Myers, again, started up top in this one. We scored immediately in this game. I was at the Sun game and not like within the time that we had kicked off, it seemed like the Rowdies were already up. So that was pretty positive. I did like that. Yeah. But unfortunately, Oakland was able to draw a level. And then we scored before halftime, but we could not keep that. Immediately after half, they tied it up again. And despite chances for, I guess, both teams, but I would say mostly the Rowdies, it ended 2-2. So, we do take a point out of this one. And we are going to continue our upward trend, in my opinion, but with the caveat here that the Rowdies were not able to maintain a winning streak. I think that's very difficult to do. This is something that we had talked about previously, and as much as I wanted the Rowdies to win and I predicted a win, That didn't pan out for me, unfortunately, or I guess Carlos. We'll get to that in a little second with our prediction standings. Speaking of standings, let's get to the overall standings in the league. We stayed on top of the Eastern Conference on goal differential, but we're third in the league. That includes clubs out in the West, and we'll go through that now. East Conference, Rowdies are on top on 13 points with a better goal differential, like I said, than Lou City, who also have 13 points. Detroit City are third with 10, and then it is a, I guess, three-way kind of tie for fourth place where goal differential comes into play here. But Hartford, the Miami, and Charleston are all on 9. 9 points is still pretty good to start this season, but just keep in mind, Miami, I guess, it's
all right
for a loop, but they're doing something. Supposedly there are plans for that club in the future, moving to Homestead, and they certainly should get out of the Miami area, in my opinion, because that's a hard sports city to be in.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's neither here nor there for this current discussion. Just keep in mind that they are not awful so far, Rowdies fans. We will be playing them relatively soon. Out West, Orange County lead the overall league with 14 points. El Paso are also ahead of us with 13 points and better goal differential. San Antonio have 12 points. Sacramento have 9. Oakland are up to 8 points after their draw with us this past weekend. So we're actually pretty good from Oakland, I would say. We said that this was going to be a test for us, and of course it did turn out to be that way. I think that we still did well, and obviously would have liked for us to do a little bit better, but here we are. Our own prediction standings, I said that we would get through that. Connor is the only one who got a point. Our writer Connor is the only one who got a point by predicting a draw this past weekend. So yeah, to him, he leads with 7 points. Producer Eureka and Carlos have 6, I have 5, and our other writer Parker has 4 right now. So that is our own standings. And Carlos, I guess that we can now jump into the second part here, which are our questions. And I will turn it over to you to start this because I've been talking a little bit. But before we get into specifics, you know, what is your grand overarching theory of the case, if you have one at this point?
Well, I think you let off well early on, said the sky could be falling, but it's probably not. We've only played 5 games, and we've been more than impressive through those 5 games. Rowdies are still undefeated, 4 wins, 1 draw. The only other team who is in that same position is our counterpart out West, El Paso, who's in second place out there, but only because Orange County has played 2 more games. There's a lot to talk about in this game. We can jump into specifics, but I'm not concerned, and I don't think you should be either if you're listening to this. It's hard to complain about being undefeated, but there's a couple things maybe we can nitpick about here and toss it up to. I think the Oakland goals were a little fluky. The Ostrom goal and particular was an own goal, of course. Their second equalizer was off of a counterattack that we were just not really set for. I think Cruz dove into a header unwisely. And left just a ton of space exposed on our half. Probably wants that one back, play a little bit more conservative, drop back more, right? So a couple things to nitpick in this game and in the Oakland goals. We can nitpick a little bit in a second, but I think the overall message is we're probably fine still. Not to get ahead of ourselves, but I think we'll learn a lot about the team as a whole next weekend when we're talking about a really, really good team in Charleston that we're going away to play. Always gives us trouble. Oakland was probably our first real tests. They're a top team. They're going to end up higher on the Western Conference table than they are currently, is my opinion after watching them play against this Rowdy squad. They played really, really, really well. They have several players that are really, really talented. And they've only dropped one loss so far this season in their 5 games. They've had some impressive results. I think you can expect this team to be towards the top of the Western Conference by the end of the year. Their only loss is to the current first place team, Orange County. All that being said, it's still frustrating. You want to get all the wins you can at home, right? Especially early on in the year. It's double frustrating because you took two leads in this game and they were immediately answered by Oakland, which again, I think is also credit to Oakland for as much as I said that the goals were a little fluky, and they were a little bit. Their answer to both goals was incredible. And I think a really, really, really positive sign if you're like an Oakland Roots fan that your team can come back twice away to what I think, and I'm biased, but what I think is one of the best teams, if not the best team in the league, by the end of the year in the Rowdies, of course. So it's a little bit of me saying credit to Oakland because, like I said, I think they played a really good game. After we scored that opening goal, the Cicerone shot, they keeper probably wants that one back. We talked about the backup keeper, McIntosh, who's had not great games in the last few appearances he's had. So I figured we could probably find a fluky goal like this one on him too. Maybe we could score more than two goals, but they locked down pretty well in this game. After that goal, the deflection, Micheletto scores. Oakland really takes control of the possession for a while in that first half. The Rowdies do have the better chances. Cicerone was really, really fun to watch, as he has been multiple games earlier on in this year. He gets downfield, puts his head down, and has made chances when we did get on the ball in the first half. I think it's pretty easy to say we had the better chances in the first half, certainly. Could have found the second or a third goal, including the MD Myers shot that I can't recall if it hit the post or if it went just wide right after.
I think it did hit the post.
Yeah, right after we scored the opener.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's the name of the game. Like, you don't score the goals that you create, and it's going to come back and bite you in the butt. That's fine. It's fine. I think that's the high level of it, right? There's too much talent on this team, and they've played really, really well in these first few games for me to be concerned. MD Myers has been funny because he started two games, right? And it seemed like he's had more impact immediately coming off of the bench in his first two games. He scored goals coming off of the bench, but not as a starter so far. I'm sure those will come. But he had a couple opportunities, probably could have, maybe should have ended up in the net in this one. But again, it's early on. I think we're going to continue to find our rhythm. I really liked what this is all on the RBLR Instagram, by the way. If you want to go watch the post game, Eureka was down in the basement asking the players and Dominic Casciato his questions. If you want to watch those clips, those videos, they're on the RBLR Rowdy's Instagram. But Russell Cicerone had great responses. I thought his intensity was great. His overall take was that we were just a little too soft. We definitely could have won this. We should have won this game, in his opinion. We were too soft. And there's clearly like a few things that need to be tightened up. Dominic Casciato's approach, kind of reflection on this game, was that maybe these things happen, right? Like, the Oakland goals also maybe were a little fluky, right? And we move. And I think both are fair, right? I think the takeaway is that neither of these guys, and Micheletto, who's also interviewed, are too concerned about, you know, where the Rowdies are. I think they clearly understand it's still early on in the season and we haven't hit our stride yet, which I think should scare the rest of the league, because the Rowdies are 4-1-0, and they haven't hit their stride yet. So what does that look like when that does happen? I don't know when it will happen. I think it'll probably happen sooner rather than later, because they've already played so well early on in the year. But like I said, I think we'll learn about kind of where we are in approaching that peak this weekend against a really good Charleston team. That's the high level. That's my spiel, my kind of reflection on this game. We can get into the nitty gritty a little bit too. But I think the general takeaway should be we're good. I think if you want to nitpick with me a little extra, and maybe there's things that we should be concerned about, I'm curious. Again, if you're listening to this live and you're on YouTube, drop the comment. tell me if you're concerned about anything. I don't really know what I would be super concerned about. I know we've played, you know, not the best of the best competition early on so far this season. Birmingham's okay. I think Pittsburgh's going to be good, but not, you know, elite. And then, of course, Jacksonville's awful. They're bottom of the table. Loudon is not great right now by any means. This is the best team we played so far. And they gave us a challenge, right? So I think that's fine. Take the challenge. First, you know, really, really tough opponent at home. You obviously want the win. And you know you're more than capable of getting the win because you were up twice and had the better chances in this game. So I think the only reason it's a little more frustrating than it probably should be for us being undefeated is because it was at home, because we were in the lead twice, and because we gave up that lead rather quickly after those goals. That's my high-level reflection. Thoughts, comments, concerns, James?
I mean, generally, I would agree. And, you know, yeah, the goals that we gave up did actually, this isn't something that I had picked up on, but they were pretty soon after the goals that we scored, which is unfortunate. If you take out the halftime break, which I'm sure the coaches would do in their own assessment, yeah, we did give up a goal very shortly after we scored one there. So that's something to keep in mind moving forward defensively. Yeah. I think in the first half, you said that we had, you know, we had given up possession, not given up possession, but we didn't have as much of it over the whole course of the half. We were relentless, it seemed, at times with our pressing to try and get the ball back and put it in good positions, especially in the first half, I felt. I think that that's how we scored our first goal. And it was a bit of a lucky bounce for us. But
yeah,
as we say frequently, you create your own luck by doing the right things. If you're doing the right things and putting yourself in good positions, then you will have a much better chance to trip into a goal, right? Almost kind of fell for us there like that.
Yeah.
So, if you continue to put yourself in the right positions, if you continue to play well and doing the right things, the things that your manager asks you to do, as long as he's not a dope, like if they hired Carlos or myself to do that job, maybe.
Whoa.
sorry, Carlos, this isn't Football Manager. So I don't yourself. Think, I don't know if we can count ourselves in the hiring pool for this job, but.
I threw my application in there. We didn't talk about it, and Ryan Helfrich didn't get back to me, but
you know. He must be busy. He must be trying to handle some other things.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, so as long as you have somebody competent doing that job and everybody's doing what they're supposed to do, everybody's kind of bought in, I still think that we looked bought in. And as you said, the goals were maybe at least one of our goals too was a bit fluky. I think that the second one that we had was really good buildup, and that's kind of what we've seen a lot more from the Rowdies. That's the goal we scored against Sporting Jacks. You could also say it was in Tampa time of the first half. It's unfortunate we didn't get a Tampa time goal in the second half.
I was waiting to keep it. Yeah, I was waiting for it. I really
am going to keep pounding that stone until it is broken, and we have hit the critical mass of people in Tampa time and bought in and ready to go, because I think that that is, I think that that's something that this team needs. We need like an ethos or something like that. Maybe we won't need, actually, well, I guess my caveat to that is this. Maybe we won't need a Tampa time if we score more goals the way we did in this past game, where we got one within the first couple of minutes. So
yeah,
if that happens, then fair enough.
Yeah, maybe we can make Tampa time the first like 5 minutes of the game. That'd be cool too. We just start ripping goals off the like. I fully thought, by the way, once we score that first goal and then hit the post, I'm looking back at the highlights to confirm like what's up. So, some 4 minutes later in the seventh minute, MD Myers hits the post. I thought we were gonna run away from this game, like from Oakland, and win like 3-4-0 for a second. Like I wouldn't mind just knocking out four goals, bam, bam, bam. First 5 minutes, call it Tampa time then too. We could adjust what Tampa time actually means halfway through the season if we start switching things up.
If we get it, that would be fantastic. And
yeah,
if we can start putting games away in the first 15 minutes, nobody's going to complain about that, I'll tell you. But it's unfortunate that we gave up these two goals. I think that Oakland probably were right to have two goals on the scoreboard by the end of it.
Yeah.
But maybe we could have gotten a little bit better too. If I go to FOTMob, we had 3 big chances created, 6 shots on target. This is according to FOTMob, obviously. So one of those big chances was missed. But yeah, it did look like we probably could have gotten 1 or 2 more out of this.
My favorite slept on stat in FOTMob is touches in opponent box. What are you looking at there, James? Do you have that? All right,
let's quickly get that while we're on it. Touches in opponent box. Let me see.
I don't know if that's the official.
27 for the Tampa Bay Rowdies. And just as a point of comparison, Oakland had 8. So we nearly had 20 more touches than them.
And this this is what we talked about earlier, too, in the first half. Oakland had so much of that ball. I forget the official number, but they had a clear majority of possession. But the Rowdies were pretty stout defensively. Like it was pretty organized. It was tight. I'll break down that first goal for Oakland in a second, but I think it's a credit to the organization of the Rowdies and as a whole. If you look back at the numbers for the past few games that we've played, that stat is heavily skewed in favor of the Rowdies as well. And I think all of those games, we've been on the ball, we've been dominating. This game didn't feel that way, but statistically it looks that way. That's why it's a little frustrating, right? But again, early on, get those kind of frustrating results out of the way. I'd rather have a draw like this than a draw like the one we had against El Paso.
Oh my God.
Where they rip like a halfway freaking equalizer from the moon to doom us to the season of doom. This is a good draw. Okay. Like, you know, maybe a better draw is coming back and equalizing in the 90th minute or something, but this is a good draw. Oakland's a good team. I think they're going to be close to the top of the Western Conference by the end of the year. They looked really, really impressive. They established themselves in this game, and the Rowdies were still able to keep things pretty condensed. This is the first time they played a team like this that came out and really kind of punched them in the face every time we try to punch them in the face. And it was fine. Okay. So that's, again, maybe another reflection, but sorry to interrupt you.
No, that's okay. I think that we can go ahead and jump into the goals here. And in particular, I would like to talk about the goal for Oakland from the first half. We were talking about that just a little bit there. And for further comparison between the points of our stats and the way that Oakland ultimately finished this game, Oakland had 2 big chances and they actually missed one of those. So they did not score on their 2 big chances. And I think that the first goal that they scored was not listed as an official big chance, at least according to FOTMob. Yeah. For whatever that's worth. But let's break it down a little bit. Yes, they dropped the ball from a little bit higher position in our half to about midfield, where it gets put a little bit past Dion Akoff right down the line. And unfortunately, I would you describe this as kind of like the second goal where Dion Akoff was beat the way Sebastian Cruz was? It looked like he kind of went for it and he got beat. And so the opposition player was able to run in and then, you know, whip in. I think it was Prentice again.
Yeah.
He whipped in a very good ball, by the way. I will point that out. Charlie Ostrom obviously probably should have cleared it. It was under pressure. It's one of those things that happens sometimes.
It
sucks and you hold your head in your hands, but it will happen from time to time if you're a defender. And if you're a bad defender, it's going to happen a lot of times. So let's just be happy that Charlie Ostrom is the one back there. And it's only going to happen probably this one time. I think the last time that I had an own goal stat for the Rowdies, it was Forrest Lasso with 1 over the course of an entire season. So just keep that in mind.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was still relatively good buildup from Oakland. And again, a very, very nice whipped in ball, I think, from Prentice.
Yeah, I think you make a good point. You know, Akoff, he's out of the frame when that pass actually happens. I can't fully tell where he was. Maybe his positioning was just off slightly, or maybe it looks more probable that he actually dove in there to try and poke that ball away and was beat, unfortunately. So correct. Like similar to that second goal for Oakland, maybe just a little too aggressive instead of playing a little bit more conservative, kind of keep the ball in front of you. Easier said than done, but that's where it breaks down, right? Before that, you're kind of set defensively as a team. The ball's in front of you. But that's how they're able to penetrate our back line. And then, of course, a great ball, like you said, falls into the path of Ostrom, unfortunately. Great finish. but, you know, things happen there. That's okay. Again, it's the first time we've really had a chance to nitpick our back line this season. So, again, don't give it the, like, don't doom the season, you know? Don't be like, okay, Dion Akoff is awful or something, or, like, Charlie Ostrom is awful for scoring the own goal, or let's talk about the second goal, right? In this case, Sebastian Cruz is awful for jumping into that. Like, I think these are things that we're just – we haven't really had to do too much this season, which is defend against a good team, right? This is the first time we've really had to maybe be a little bit more careful than we were, right? Maybe play a little bit more conservative than we were. I think we were pretty comfortable just letting things fly in the first four games of the year because we were much more dominant. We were on top of the ball. We were controlling the game. We were playing against a teams that clearly weren't at our level. And maybe we just went in with that kind of approach for this game as well, where Oakland was probably a little bit better than those teams, right? Maybe at our level, maybe slightly below, maybe slightly above. The jury's out, you know, five games of the year. But our talent on paper is so great. I think this is the equivalent of, you know, maybe the first or second game for the defense, if that makes any sense. They haven't really been challenged as a back line too much this season. So it's good. I think it's great that they were challenged. I think we learned from our mistakes here. And I don't think these are mistakes that you'll see repeated too frequently from Sebastian Cruz, from Dion Akoff, from Charlie Ostrom. I think we'll be fine. By the way, the second goal, you know, just if you want to talk about it, is off of a Rowdy's corner kick, actually. Header out. I think it's Hilton who tries to get ahead on it, but falls out to the left wing. Dion Akoff puts some pressure in Oakland's half. Can't tell who actually sent that ball out to Prentice, but Prentice with an incredible touch, left foot.
I think it was listed on FotMob as Faisal Batiche. So
you got an assist for that. Wow. Yeah. Okay. I guess you get an assist for just booting the ball up the field. Like,
sometimes it works out.
Sometimes it works out. Prentice feels Cruz there, clearly diving in for that, just tips it by him, and he's off to the races. And a great finish, by the way. Really, really nice finish. Maybe, I don't know, say what you will. If you're not a goalkeeper, like, this sounds really easy to say. Maybe weight could have been a little bit bigger there because it gets just over him. It really isn't by much, but it's a nice finish. So, yeah, those are Oakland's two goals. We haven't talked about the Rowdies' two goals, by the way, much. Like we said, that Russell Cicerone shot, deflection, falls out to Micheletto with a lovely, lovely finish there. Kind of a fluky goal for us as well, actually, if you think about it. That's not going to happen too often, but I think it was justified. It was a just goal because we created a ton of opportunities in that first half in particular. And Akoff makes up for his mistake by putting in a ridiculously beautiful ball to Cicerone at the end of the first half, of course, in Tampa time. So cancel out your mistake. I love it. Beautiful. Cicerone just coming out of nowhere like a rocket, trailing. Just a little dink on the ball. Doesn't need to put too much power on it. Just makes contact, directs to the far post. Nobody can stop that. I thought that was a really, really beautiful goal. And I thought that was a moment we would kind of, you know, be comfortable with this game now. Those stoppage time goals are demoralizing. But again, like, that's to Oakland's credit. They came out and they didn't let that really phase them all that much. And they tied the game up early in the second half. So that's the story of the game, I think, right? It's Rowdy score, Oakland just maybe a little bit more resilient than we would have expected and played a great game. certainly better than I was expecting. I knew they were a good team. I think they're going to be a really great team after seeing them play, after seeing the resilience they play, like incredible talent, incredible counterattacking, incredible speed. They're very, very good. So I'm not distraught, but of course a little frustrated just because, like we've said before, we're up twice and we let them come back twice. We had chances and we hit the post and you want that goal back. So that's the game for Tampa Bay Rowdies.
Yeah, I think that we could have done better in this one. Obviously, we could have done worse as well. But, you know, you can't, I don't know, you can't have players playing 99, 100%, 99 or 100% of the time. So it's a difficult thing that we're gonna see over the course of the season. But, of course, the question becomes, now that the result is complete, how the Rowdies bounce back, and especially because this upcoming opponent will more than likely be even stronger than Oakland, and it is away from home. So yes, that adds to the intrigue, I suppose, of this particular game. But before we get to that, Carlos, we have not finished wrapping our bow on this review. We have to do our players of the match. So
James, I got one more question for you before we do our man of the match. Because one thing we didn't talk about that I want to mention as well. You went through the starting lineup. We brought Cruz back up from the back line to the wing, put Ostrom back into the starting lineup, which of course means that you need to take someone out from the starting lineup. In this case, it was Pedro Dolabella, who made his way out from that kind of attacking mid role, or the striker role where he's played in the past, but MD Meyer's obviously playing in that role in this game, Micheletto behind him. What'd you make of that decision? Are you a fan I guess this is something we could have figured out from Dominic Casciato, if this was like a tactical thing for Oakland in particular. I'm just curious, do you have any thoughts on taking out Dolabella, putting in Micheletto, putting Ostrom back into the game, just kind of moving things around?
I like Charlie Ostrom, and I think that he will continue to take up the majority of the minutes at left back. I think Sebastian Cruz will also figure in at right back here, but that's not what we're talking about at this particular moment. So in this case, I don't know this because I wasn't in the press conference. I don't know if this specifically was brought up offhand. I can't remember that, but I don't know if this was anything more than just getting a little bit of changes into the lineup for the sake of managing minutes. Yeah. You don't have to manage minutes this early on usually, but you also don't want to overload people very quickly. So Micheletto, I think he started 4 out of 5 games. So Pedro Dolabella now has started 4 out of 5 games. MD Meyers, obviously, with his injury, came back later. So he's only started twice now. Cicerone has started all 5 games. And as the attacking unit generally does the most running in a game, that's something to keep an eye on. But I wouldn't be surprised if Micheletto, Dolabella, and Sebastian Cruz start the next one, or if Sebastian Cruz kind of takes another step back and we see somebody else in this role. I think it might have just been for the sake of it. That being said, obviously, Dominic Casciato, he might have something a little bit deeper in mind, and maybe Pedro Dolabella wasn't the person specifically that he wanted to play the role versus Oakland. I think that we saw Micheletto obviously come very good in the opening 3-4 minutes when he got on the score sheet. But it was good to see all of these guys kind of be able to take the rotation whenever that comes up, because you will need to rotate. You can't start every single game of the season. We play too many games as a club for that every single year. And especially, obviously, during the hottest months of the season. It is pretty hot right now, already in April. It's going to be much worse. So it's just something to keep in mind again.
Yeah. Fascinating. No, it's just curious because every week we have like one thing that changes slightly, right? Maybe it's just rotation. Maybe it's tactical. That's the really interesting benefit of having all these utility guys, right? There's a lot of movement. Guys can play different positions. Shifts week to week. It makes it really interesting to watch on the field, but I'm sure it makes it a little challenging as an opponent to kind of see who you have to prep for in the midfield, right? I'm glad Ostrom and Cruz were both on the field at the same time because I really like what they have available for this team. Of course, it just means sacrificing another really piece of incredible talent in Dolabella for the start, right? So it's just, it's interesting. I'm curious to see how this continues to play out. We're so early on in the year, but it feels like the trend is kind of like one rotation every week. Like there's one thing new every week. One guy shifts, one guy comes in, one guy comes out. We'll see how it plays out in Charleston as well. I'm sure there'll be some tactical decisions. Maybe there's a game where you want a little bit more size in Dolabella to get a header. I don't know. Maybe there's a game where you like Ostrom's skill set on the left side of the field against an opponent's right side, right? Like I think it poses a lot of great opportunities for this Rowdy's coaching staff game to game. Before we do man of the match really quickly, I should have brought this up when we did our standings, but I just want to run through a couple interesting results around the league. This one's relevant to our game this weekend, and we'll talk about it a little bit more. Brooklyn beats Charleston Battery 3-0.
Interesting.
A very fascinating result. My boy Stefan Stojanovic Hoya scored for Brooklyn. Their second win of the year, Charleston's second loss. It was a really, really interesting game that I want to talk a little bit about later on. El Paso continues their really impressive ways with a 4-0 domination of Hartford away at Hartford. Indy got an impressive little bounce back win after still struggling to come back from that not so great Open Cup loss to Union Omaha. They get their first win after that game. And Lexington has continued to be, I think, the early disappointment of the league, James. This was a team we talked about being this like really high potential. They spent a ton of money going after the big names in the USL. They've won one game this year, and it's been against Brooklyn, who we thought was really bad, but maybe they're not so bad because they just beat Charleston 3-0. They've had a really tough run that hit early on, including two losses to their in-state rival in Louisville Open Cup and in the league play. They really haven't found it. And Rhode Island gets their first win of the year from them. So tons of interesting stuff happening around the league. Always encourage you to watch more USL because there's plenty of good games, plenty of great storylines. Last thing I'll mention is that Aaron Guillen got his first goal with his new team in Las Vegas. He scored in the 20th minute. In Las Vegas' draw against Sacramento Republic. If you recall, Aaron Guillen would have like one goal every other season for the Rowdies. So we can, check off his goal of the next 2 years for Las Vegas now that he scored. We can expect him to score again in 2028. But good for him. I'm glad he's settling in over there. Love Aaron Guillen. Hope things are going to turn around soon for Las Vegas, who's had a slow start. Okay. James, we've talked about the league. We've talked about the Rowdies. We've talked about this game. Who's your man of the match from this game against who did we just play? Oh, my gosh. Oakland Raiders. Who's your man of the match?
So you went with a guy that I was kind of leaning towards but hadn't really made up my mind yet. So I went with the other person that was really, really kind of stood out for me. And his performance on the field was good. This wasn't something that I would have caught just on my own, but – Like Carlos and I have both said, we use FontMob to help ourselves keep track of the stats and everything. And so I always want to check the stats, see who did what. Brian Schaefer hit double digits in defensive contributions, 12 defensive contributions in this past game. I just wanted to highlight that. He's my man of the match. That stands out for me. If you can hit – the only other player to do this, by the way, was David Garcia for Oakland. 13 defensive contributions, but yeah, if you are hitting double digits defensive contributions, I mean, I think that deserves a little bit of recognition. And in this case, that makes him my man of the match.
I love it. Brian Schaefer's been a great revelation early on. Yeah. He's been so great to have when we thought we were going to have Leland Archer starting back there, but obviously some sort of injury has prevented that. Leland Archer is still not on the bench for the Rowdies. And we've been very comfortable with that because Brian Schaefer has been a beast. We talked about both goals for Oakland. Notice we didn't really mention either of our center backs having been implicated in those goals. They were pretty solid throughout the game, Dos Santos and Schaefer, particularly Schaefer. My man of the match was Russell Cicerone. He obviously got the second goal of the game for the Rowdies. Beautiful, beautiful finish. He's continued to be just my favorite player to watch on this team. He puts his head down. He runs at you like a bull. And he'll find space. He'll take shots. He's not afraid of it. Yeah, he's been fun to watch. He had two shots on target, created three chances single-handedly. I feel like he's our early season, my early season favorite Rowdy, maybe early season MVP. I think he's got a lot to give this season. I'm really, really excited to see what those numbers are by the end of the year, especially now that he got that second goal. Feels like he was due for a goal. He had so many chances in those past few games, especially against Loudon. I feel like he created a ton of opportunities in that game and just couldn't find the back of the net. He deserved a goal. I'm glad he got it. Good for him. Russell Cicerone, my clear man of the match.
There you go. I think that that's also a good selection, and I totally get where you're coming from because, as I said, Russell Cicerone was one of the guys that I was looking at for this. So yep. There you go. It kind of writes itself, right? Yep. Let's move on to our preview. But before we do that, liking and subscribing is free. If you think you might need some new threads coming up this year, though, I think we can also help you out there. You can support our podcast just a little bit by heading over to shop.rvlrsports.com and checking out all the designs that we have cooked up there. There will be a link in the description, and you can use the promo code COYR for 10% off of your order. 10% off. And I hope to see somebody coming up either at a Sun game or a Rowdies game in some RBLR gear. And if you are one of the people who attends the other sports teams, maybe you could buy some RBLR gear for those ones. I am mostly at the Sun and Rowdies games, though. Just going to put that out there. All right. So this Saturday, we are away to Charleston Battery, that is, in South Carolina. And the game is at 3 p.m. Not sure about that one, but I guess that makes it easier for some people to see. And hopefully we will get a relatively good TV audience, I suppose.
Yeah.
It's not that far away, so I'm sure that we will see some green and gold up in the stands. Unfortunately, I will not be making this one due to prior commitments, but that's all right because I expect other people will be doing the job. Charleston are a pretty good team, and they're in mixed form recently. We're going to go through this. But they are 3-0-2 in the league so far for 6th in the East. This is where I was really thrown. Well, Carlos already mentioned this, but they lost away to Brooklyn last week, and that was after beating Louisville City the week before. So as I wrote in my notes here, shrug with a question mark because that just kind of throws me for a loop.
And that win against Louisville was after losing a Charlotte Independence away in the Open Cup. So pattern of bad loss, really good win, bad loss. We'll see what happens, right?
Yeah. To be fair, I will point out against or in their Open Cup game against Charlotte, I think that they kind of took that one a little easily. I don't remember if they put like a B team out off the top of my head, but they obviously were not playing as if there were points on the line, which I wish everybody did in the Open Cup, but I can't control that. That is beyond me. Yeah. It's unfortunate, again, that the Rowdies are not in the Open Cup, but that's not a conversation that we can have in this particular time.
That just means so, we're not tired for these regular season games. We got to win them all, though. That's what I'm saying. We got to go in there and kill every game. Anyway.
Exactly.
Especially while the USL teams are playing these Open Cup games early on in the season. Got to take advantage. Anyway, take it away.
That is a very good point, though. While we're in the middle of this, Luis Samudio is likely to start in net behind. I'm kind of guessing here, so keep that in the back of your head, but I think that this is what we're likely to see. Douglas Martinez at right back, Graham Smith and Joey Akpunonu as the center backs with Nathan Messer at left back. Nathan Messer, by the way, joined the team from Portland last year in the USL League One. Kirill Pakomov and Sean Suber are the likeliest pairing in the center of the midfield based on recent play. They can both play elsewhere, though. Sean Suber has played as a right back and as a center back. He's a very good player, and he appears, unbeknownst to me, to be very versatile. Laurent Kisidou, Emilio Icasa, a local to St. Pete, and Jeremy Kelly are likely to play as the attacking midfielders behind either Colton Swan or Miguel Berry. Those are the two strikers that have kind of been switching off so far this season. And one other player who has started in multiple different positions already this season is Nanan Husu. He is Ivorian and a very good player, somebody that I mentioned, I think, when we played Charleston both games or however many games last season. And yeah, he will possibly work his way into the lineup. I guess it just depends on other players. Obviously, Laurent Kisidou, one of the players that he might replace, is also Ivorian, but Husu can play as a central midfielder, a right back. I'm sure he's also played as a left back. I think I remember that, actually. But yeah, those are the likeliest players for the starting 11. Ikasa has been a thorn in our side, I should say, in the past. I think Jeremy Kelly has also done that. Maybe not even with Charleston, possibly. So, guys to just remember and keep in the back of your head. Ikasa, by the way, leads the team with 2 goals. Kelly and Akpunono each have 2 assists. And I wanted to point out that the vast majority of their chances come from out wide. I think that this is probably relatively familiar for anybody who has seen Charleston in the last couple of years. Ben Pierman is still in charge, and that's the way that he has played there. So we will probably see either, whether it's Kisidou or Husu on the right, Jeremy Kelly on the left, combining with the left back behind him. Douglas Martinez, if he starts as the right back, he is formerly an attacker, like a winger or a striker. So keep in mind that he will want to get forward. And all of those players are going to contribute to the attack, whatever the actual formation and lineup is. Carlos, do you have anything to add before we jump into our predictions here?
No, just that the Brooklyn game was a weird one. I don't think you can take that and assume that Charleston's going to be an awful team this year or anything like that. Playing in that stadium is really weird. Brooklyn has a weird setup at the old Cosmos Stadium in Coney Island. It's an awful setup. The stadium is funky. The grass is weird. It's a hard place to play, especially as a team like Brooklyn probably gets more and more used to playing there as the season progresses. I'm sure it'll be difficult for us to play there too in June, right? So
yeah.
The word fluke has been thrown around a little bit this episode. I think we could say this is probably a fluky result against Charleston. I don't think this is an indictment on them or their talent. They had 71% possession in this game. Not that that means anything. Brooklyn did have more shots on target. But Charleston was definitely in a position to score a few goals in this game too. They didn't, obviously, right? So that's the end result. That's what really matters. But we know this team is pretty good, so we will keep a cautious eye on several of these players that we already know are very, very good. Kisiedu is one of them. We know of him in the midfield. You mentioned Ikaza already. He's been a thorn in our sides as well. He's played great, great soccer for Charleston. He's been there now for, how long has he been there? 4 seasons. Wow. He's been there longer than I expected. I think this will be a really good litmus test for the Rowdies, James. We are coming off of a slightly disappointing result. So is Charleston, though, right? I think the approach, the kind of how you think about this game is that Charleston can either come out and, after this really bad loss to Brooklyn, and be like, ah, shoot, like, we are just not that good, right? I don't think that's what's going to happen, right? You could, there's a universe where Charleston just kind of lets this bad loss against Brooklyn snowball into something really bad for the next month or so, right? The alternate universe, the alternate universe, is the one where Charleston comes out fired up and wanting to kind of erase this loss from their memories, right? At home against a team that they have a great little recent history with in the Rowdies, right? A team whose number they've had, a team who's won 15 times against us, right? Like they have our number. They win games against us. We struggle in Charleston. That's just how it is. So I think this is a team that's going to come out and want to establish themselves, erase this loss against Brooklyn.
Yeah.
That's going to make it really, really challenging for us. But we're also a really good team. So I'm curious. I think it'll be a great game, but I have truly no idea what way it's going to go.
Yeah, That's fair. Yeah. That is fair. Well, let's jump into our predictions. And I see that our producer Eureka is working on his. So, Carlos, I am going to turn it over to you. What is your prediction for this game?
My prediction for this game, James. My prediction for this game, I'm going to go with a I told you I don't know how it's going to go. So I'm going to go with a another 2-2 draw. No, I take it back. I'm the optimist. I'm going to go with a – you know what? I don't know how it's going to go. I'm going to go with a 2-0 win.
Okay.
But I'm going to manifest that because I really don't know. And I'm going to side on the side of being super optimistic instead of pessimistic. I'm not saying that because I think we are absolutely going to beat Charleston. I just feel that we're a really good team. They're coming off of a bad loss. I don't think they know who they are yet, right? It's early on in the season for them too. Their identity's up in the air, but they're going to come out and play a really hard game, if nothing else.
Oh, yeah.
It could be the worst Charleston in years, and they're still going to play us really, 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 really tough at home. Coming off a bad loss in front of their fans, it's going to be a really scrappy game.
Yeah. I mean, it is good to point out that they might not know exactly who they are, but this is one that anybody in Charleston, I think they kind of learn early on. This is one that you fight your butt off for. So. Yeah.
Also, for what it's worth, they've never drawn with us at home. It's only ever been Rowdy's win or Charleston win. And unfortunately, it's been a lot more Charleston wins than Rowdy's wins in Charleston. 11 wins at home for Charleston against us, 3 for the Rowdies. History's not on our side, but this is a team that I think is hopefully turning things around for the Rowdies. So we'll see.
Yeah, I am in agreement with you. I know that this is going to be a tough game, as we've talked about multiple times already, but I do think that the Rowdies can win this, and I gave us a 2-1 win. Last week, the person who picked a draw was the only person to get a point, so maybe Eureka's following that path. Our producer has gone with a 1-1 draw, while our writers, Parker and Connor, have gone with a 3-2 win and a 2-0 win, respectively. So it is 4 wins on the board and 1 draw again, just like last week. And with that, Carlos, I think that there is one extra thing that we need to talk about in the extra time segment. And based on when we're recording, that should be starting in about 15 minutes.
True. Wait, James, curious. I want to throw this out there. Do you know the last time the Rowdies beat Charleston in Charleston?
Ooh, that's a very good question. But I'm going to guess.
I'll give you
a guess. That it was a playoff game.
It was not a playoff game.
Okay. Well, I'm already out then.
Yeah, it was October of 2021, towards the end of the season. Goal from Wyke in the 21st minute and Guenzotti penalty in the 25th minute. Back-to-back goals after Repetto for Charleston opened scoring in the 10th minute.
Yeah, definitely wouldn't have had that one.
I figured. Blast from the past. Hopefully we turn things around and we get our first win in Charleston in 5 years. That's crazy. James. Let's talk extra time. Let's talk Open Cup. There's a bunch of games happening today, Tuesday, if you're listening to this live, yesterday, if you're listening to this recorded, but also today, if you're listening to this recorded, because there's games tomorrow too, on Wednesday. Bunch of games happening around the Open Cup. I wish the Rowdies were in it, of course, but I want to highlight it because this is the round where, of course, USL teams start to match up with MLS squads. And I think there's a number of games to keep an eye out for upsets.
Carlos, are we gonna have to be Naples fans for the night?
That's tomorrow. And my answer is I don't care because truly, and I'll mention it in a second, but correct. Tomorrow Naples plays Orlando City. I obviously dislike Orlando more than I dislike Naples. I don't really care about Naples. It's more so I don't want another Florida team to get that win over Orlando before us. I know a lot of teams have had that, not a lot, but off the dome, Miami FC has beaten them in the Open Cup already. Fort Lauderdale Strikers beat them in the Open Cup already. And Fort Lauderdale doesn't even exist anymore. Like, it pains me that it hasn't happened for us yet. It pains me that we're not playing them when I feel like we're playing some of our best soccer this season, and they're not playing great soccer at all. It feels like we're in a prime opportunity to finally get that monkey off of our back in the history that is the modern Rowdies. nonetheless, I think Naples has a pretty decent opportunity to knock off Orlando because they've been playing really mediocre MLS soccer, which of course is probably better than your average, you know, USL League One soccer, but it's the magic of the cup, baby. But I just want to highlight a couple of games because I think the clear opportunity for a USL MLS upset is Louisville City at home against Austin. Louisville is, of course, ridiculously good. They play great soccer at home, unless they play against Charleston for some reason, then they don't. But I think they'll be up to the task. Austin has only had one win this year in MLS. And again, I don't think MLS squads really take this that seriously. I'm sure there'll be some rotation. The lineup's actually already out, but I couldn't tell you who any of these Austin guys are. So I don't know if there is or not. My point is Louisville is a USL team. They know what can happen with a nice Open Cup run. They will take it more seriously. They're playing at home in front of their fans. I think Louisville has a great opportunity to knock off Austin, and I'll be rooting for them. I mean, I don't really hate Louisville like a lot of us on the rowdy side seem to do. So I'm totally okay rooting for them, putting on my USL hat. Rhode Island plays New England in a fun little New England derby, for what that's worth. I don't know anything about New England, but Rhode Island's not great, but fun matchup nonetheless. I'll highlight another one that I think has a potential upset alert in Sacramento and Minnesota tonight, 10 p.m. Sacramento hosts Minnesota. They always play tough games against MLS teams when they're at home. I don't think this one will be any different. It'll be a close one, if nothing else. And then Union Omaha always seems to be the surprise of the tournament. So they play tonight at 9:30. I don't know anything about Colorado Rapids either, so I don't know if they're any good. Sure, they're better than Union Omaha, but they always seem to find us with a random open cup upset every once in a while, like every other year, Union Omaha. So maybe they have that magic again this year. James, any ones tomorrow that look interesting to you?
Well, I think I already made mine known for Naples versus Orlando. It's fair that you could say that you would want us to be the team to knock them off, but at the same time, I just want to see Orlando lose any game, every game that they play.
It's just like it doesn't really like matter though. You know what I mean? Like if Naples beats Orlando, you think anybody on the Orlando side of things thinking, man, the Rowdies fans are really having us on this one? Like they're.
I don't think that they're worried about that. And that's not really where I'm. I just want them to not be happy.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's kind of my goal. I want them to see a soccer game and afterwards feel upset. That's kind of what I want.
They've been bad. Naples has an opportunity to do it. They're a pretty okay squad, Naples, especially at home. I'm sure they'll be, you know, they're actually top of League One. I didn't know that. I'm curious. I think it'll be a fun atmosphere. You know, it's not far from Orlando. I'm sure they'll have a good crowd. It'll be a fun one to watch. I'll probably be at DC United versus One Knoxville tomorrow. It's here at Audi Field across the river in Navy Yard. I think it'll be a fun one. Potential for upset. DC United is awful. They've been awful for so long. They have two wins instead of one win, so they're not bottom of the league. But DC United just does not know who they are, and they haven't known who they are for a number of years. So I don't know anything about One Knoxville, but hey, they've only lost one game. Who knows what can happen? Magic of the Cup, James.
Magic of the Cup. We love it. That's why we watch it.
Exactly. So plenty of fun soccer coming up. There's also Copa Libertadores on right now, but for the sake of games that are more relevant to this podcast, Open Cup today and tomorrow. Tons of stuff happening. James, yeah. Let's wrap it up.
All right. Well, let's do that. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We appreciate when you do, and we will get you out of here now. Please follow RBLR Sports on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, Blue Sky, anywhere at RBLR Sports. I am mostly on Twitter at RBLR James K. You can use the hashtag AskRBLR, or you can reach Carlos
at CarlosTPA10 on Twitter. Follow me and you could see my adventure into Audi Field tomorrow as I put on my USL hat and root for One Knoxville.
There we go.
Off the upset.
Like that. Like and subscribe to our podcast. You can get the full experience on YouTube, where you can see our fresh cuts, as I said. We are also on Spotify, the iHeartRadio app, Apple and Google Podcasts. Wherever you are, we are there, and we will be happy to interact with you as well. So yeah. For one more week, with the Rowdies staying undefeated and hopefully a win down the line, come on, you Rowdies.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.